As some of you may know, when we moved into the area, we purchased some property. We own about 10 acres, and part of this property runs along call it a county road, a city road, and this property is pretty rough. It hadn't been tended for many, many years. And we have a fence line, a barbed wire fence, to hold in livestock and what have you, although we don't have livestock, but I think at one point that's what it was intended for. And so over this last summer, actually just not too long ago, I became very ambitious and decided to, well, the weeds are taller than the fence, and I need to do something about that. So my brother-in-law has an industrial commercial type weed eater that has like a little star blade on there that'll cut almost anything. So I was out there cutting away, going along, looking at the work that I've done. Wow, that looks really good, meaning that weeds that are this tall versus 5 feet. Wow, what a difference. And I was cutting along, going along the fence line. It was a nice warm day, nice and muggy, so you're nice and sticky. Then all of a sudden, bang! Wow, that hurt! I looked around and I see these wasps flying everywhere. Wow, I did not expect that. I thought everything was going well, but I was done for the day. I was just done. That was enough for me. I hadn't been stung by wasps probably since I was 13, and that was a long time ago, and I forgot about it, how much it hurts. What I should have been doing as I was doing this work, I should have been paying attention to what was going on. I wasn't. I was focused on doing my work, but I was not focused on the big picture. I was not aware of my surroundings. And I thought to myself, well, there's a lot of lessons in this for life in general as part of our Christian journey. And also, it's very appropriate, the lesson that I learned for these holy days, this holy day season, the Day of Trumpets, where we're commanded to be watching for the return of Christ. And it also reminded me of a passage that I believe that most of us are very familiar with in Matthew 26:41. So if you wouldn't mind turning there with me, Matthew 26:41, breaking into the context, this was just before when Christ was going to be betrayed and turned over to the authorities to be our sacrifice. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying fervently, I think as John described, with tears of blood. And during this prayer, he took a break, I suppose, and he found Peter sitting there sleeping. And he reminds Peter, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What I'd like to do is expand on the concept of watching. What does Christ mean by watching? Of course, we all have we all know what watch means. But I think from the time of Christ to our modern context, this has taken on a different meaning. We have entertainment that's readily available, such as television, such as news. We watch the news. We have thoughts put into our mind from these outside sources. And I believe what Christ is saying is take every thought into captivity and process these thoughts. And we do that by watching. I'd like to dissect the word watch that's used in this particular text. The word is, excuse my Greek, it's not very good. I've been to Greece, but I never learned the language. But is gregorio. And the gist of this is to keep awake, to stay awake, to watch literatively or figuratively, to be vigilant, wakeful, watchful. But that word comes from another Greek word, which is a little bit easier to pronounce, and that's Strong's 1453, is egrio. That is to rouse from a sleep, from disease, from obscurity, from non-existence to existence. So I think what's being said here is that we are to watch, actively watch, look what's going on into our in our society. Look what's going on in our mind. Look what's around our surroundings. I wasn't watching very well when I got stung by that wasp. So I was watching, focused on what I was doing, but I wasn't focused on the big picture. My purpose here is to explore a couple elements that Christ touched upon when he was talking to Peter. And I wanted to explore kind of what does it mean to watch? How do we actively watch? A couple elements that are closely related. There's many more different elements. We're just only going to touch on a couple. The first element is desire, and the second element is thought. What is desire, as we're starting with desire? The Oxford Dictionary defines desire as a strong feeling of wanting or to have something that is wishful, or wanting or wishing for something to happen. And desire is not bad. We all have desires. A couple examples is, I'm hungry, I desire to eat. God made us to be physical beings, to require food, to ingest food, to nutrient our body so we could survive. That is perfectly fine. Another example of desire is more for those that are still working or will be working, is to be very successful in our careers. Or, you know, we all have jobs, whether we're retired or not, we all have some kind of form of work. And we all want to be very successful at that. And we want to do the best that we can. However, sometimes I've seen it examples in my life. I've done it. I'm guilty. There's people that I know, and I'm quite sure we all can think of others, that where the job or the career becomes so important that it kind of drowns everything else out. It's the focus. We lose the big picture. What are we working for? When desire becomes destructive or negative is when desire becomes to lust, when desire turns into lust. In other words, that focus becomes so strong that it consumes our minds. It consumes my mind. And all you want to do is, all you do is think about that. All your actions lead to that, to how can I achieve this behavior or to this desire. So going back to our example of desire when it becomes negative, going, for example, hunger. When we're hungry, we want to eat. But when it turns into lust, I want to eat this, I want to eat this, and it leads to gluttony, and it leads to your never-encompassing lust, basically, ever-encompassing desire that takes our mind off of Christ. Going back to our, kind of touching back to our example of over or our work becoming our main purpose in life, it again becomes lust, and it becomes a negative thing that takes us away from the mind of Christ and also the mind of our Christian journey. A scripture I'd like to quote that addresses this, or in part or talks about this, is in James 1:14-15. That is James 1:14-15. I'll go ahead and read it. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So what Paul is saying, or what James is saying here, is that we all have desires, but we have to keep our desires in check. If we don't keep our desires in check, they can turn into something negative, into lust, and that will lead us to the ultimate death, and it will tarnish and be destructive to our Christian journey. And we do not want anything to interfere with us, with our relationship with God. The second area that's closely related to desire is our thoughts. And I've kind of subtitled this Our Thoughts, the Carnal Mind. What is a carnal mind? A carnal mind is when our mind, desires, lust, becomes influenced by fleshly things. It's a negative desire that it's anything that's anti-God or that is against the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's when we put our desires and our lust before God's desires. In other words, we live our life. We've all heard that. I live my life, but we should be living our life to God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is negative against God. And if we possess this, and we all fight this on a daily basis, if we don't keep it in check through the holy power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes the master manipulator of our lives. And we're being manipulated by our adversary, obviously. Examples of carnal mindedness are, just a summary, we don't have time to go into every little detail, is sexual promiscuity, an attitude and promotion of divisiveness, intentional harm to self and others. So you can, if you contrast the two, you can see one is kind of outward going or inward going, and the journey that God wants us to take and Christ wants us to take is outward going for fellow man. I'd like to quote a scripture for Paul talks about the carnal mind, and that is in Romans 8, 5 through 7. That's Romans 8, 5 through 7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So basically what Paul is saying here is that we have the mind of God, which is a spiritual mind, and we have a fleshly mind, which is a carnal mind that cannot please God. Again, the carnal mind is inward focused, and the mind of God is outward focused, of giving. So I'd like a couple, I'm going to focus on one tool that we could use to help us be more watchful. I have several here, but for the sake of time, we're just going to talk about one. And I'd like to focus on daily prayer. What better way for us to be actively watching than asking our Father and our elder brother, Christ, for help to see the things that we don't see? The mind, our physical minds, cannot see the things that God sees. And He can impart into us, give us vision through His Holy Spirit to help us watch for things that may have a little bit of, you know, a lot of good and a little bit of evil in there. And if we go before our Father, our God, He will help us. Perhaps another time we'll talk about how we can be more effectively on that, but for this particular message, we're just going to talk about this one tool. There are a couple other tools that I have down here is prayer, Bible study, and fasting, but we'll go into that in some other time. So Christ admonished Peter to be watchful and to pray. We are to be watchful and to pray. We need to not only watch what we're doing, but the big picture. Watch every thought that comes into and bring it into captivity and to give it the test. Does it pass the God test? In other words, is this what would Jesus do? Is this what God would do? Is it contrary to the principles of the Ten Commandments? So in conclusion, we talked about a couple elements of watching. One is not letting desire turn into lust and being aware of the carnal mind. We talked about a couple of the tools, but as I was finished the next day when I went out to finish my weed eating, I went out there, I looked around, I looked in the ground, I didn't see a hornet's nest. And then when I looked up, it was right in front of me on a weed. So in your life, my life, do I look for the hornet's nest?